morning, Fort McMurray, with Buffalo and the rest of the world. You've tuned in to the Mac City Morning Show. I'm your host, Elliot Pierre. We're going to start today's episode off the same way we start every episode off, with a moment of gratitude. I know you could be doing a million other things with your time, and the fact that you spend it with us truly does mean the world to me, so thank you. On that note, Jason, hit him with the intro.
Hey, it's Keith Simpson here. I'm the general manager of Norrell Toyota, soon to be Fort McMurray Toyota. Pretty excited for our new dealership. We're here to take care of you. Come on down and be part of our family.
And we are back. Big shout out to Norrell Toyota, our title sponsor for today's episode. We really do appreciate your ongoing support. As everybody at home knows, I do not introduce my guests because they can do a better job at that than myself. So can you please tell everybody at home who you are and what you're about?
Yeah, my name's Duncan Scott. I'm a chef here at Solar. Yeah. We haven't opened yet, but we're hoping it's going to come really soon.
Okay.
Currently, I'm working on menu developments.
Okay. Now, you're a chef.
Yes.
Where did your love of food start?
It started a long time ago. Mm. I started working at Earl's in the early 90s.
Okay.
Right?
Have you talked to Jason?
No.
Okay. All right. He used to work at Earl's too.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So, and Earl's back then was a really good training ground.
Yeah.
They got me into an apprenticeship program, which I really liked. And then I left Earl's, went to a little tiny town in the middle of nowhere, worked one-on-one with a Swiss chef for 5 years.
Okay.
Finished my apprenticeship up with her, and that's really where the passion came from, was being mentored by her.
Right. And so what level of chef are you now then? Like, what's your title when it comes to chef?
I'm the executive chef.
Okay. And so it took you how many years? Like, because this is where I'm getting at, long story short.
Okay.
How many years did it take you to achieve this current position and title?
It probably took 15.
15 years.
But I've been cooking for 35.
There you go. You had to put in the work.
Exactly.
Period. There's no shortcut to getting your job.
That's correct. Hard work, long hours, low pay, hot environments, but work with good people. Mm-hmm. You know, people teach you a lot of stuff. You just kind of pick it up. But it did take you like a good 15 years or so to get to that level.
Awesome.
At least be confident in that level.
That's right.
You know, a lot of people, they're young chefs and they just, you know, they get the position just because maybe the chef quit and you're the next in line. But you really need a lot of experience and background for this one.
And once you get the job, like, let's say you are fortunate enough that you get, somebody leaves and you get the job.
Yes.
Now you got to do the work.
Right.
This is not something like most positions you can hide.
Yeah.
You don't have to do a great job. Right. That being said, 100% that food goes out, it has to be good every time. The level of consistency has to be there.
Yes.
I don't envy your job at all.
Yeah.
I like not phoning in 100 every day.
Right? Yeah. But for right now, I'm working on menus, which is challenging.
Yeah.
Right? You have to be able to make use of your equipment and the space you have, what you can do with that space, figure out how many staff you're going to need, then you have to cost out your menu so you know you can't just, you know, put steak and lobster out there for $10.
Yeah.
Right? You'll be busy, but you'll be broke.
Right.
So currently that's what I'm working on here with Solar.
That's fun.
Yeah.
So
it's also, you know, being a chef is a little bit being a business owner as well.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Right. You got to balance those numbers, like you're saying. What's going to hit, what's not.
Right. What's your food cost? What's your labor cost? Are you making any money?
Yeah. Right?
Stuff like that. People don't think about that. They just think, oh, you're just cooking food. Well, yes, sometimes.
Yeah.
But there's a lot more to it than what you think.
Right. No doubt.
Yeah, but it's exciting and I like it. I've been doing it, like I said, 35 years.
Yeah. So here's the real question. When you're at home cooking your own food, doing your own thing, what kind of food are you cooking at home? I know some chefs that are like, macaroni and cheese, I don't give a shit. I cook all day, I ain't doing it at home. So are you like when you get home?
Oh, that's my kind of creative area.
Okay.
Right? So I experiment at home quite a lot. You know, my kids are usually my guinea pigs.
Okay.
Right? So, yeah, I like to try out new things. Last week, for example, there was a super deal on tomatoes.
Yeah.
So I bought like 100 tomatoes.
Okay.
And then proceeded to make 8 or 9 liters of tomato sauce.
Okay.
And then I canned it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? So I do stuff like that at home.
Okay.
Just because, you know, I was waiting a week or so in between when I got hired here and starting, so I needed something to do for a week, so that was my week project.
Right. So your hobby is food.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Yeah. That's so cool. So you really enjoy it then?
Yeah, pretty much. That's what I do. I think about, create about. It's kind of what my life is about, really.
And where are you drawing inspirations for flavors when you put it together?
For the first little while, I was drawing influences from different cultures.
Okay.
Right? Like, I did actually go down to Mexico, and I lived there for a year, worked in a Mexican kitchen in Mazatlan. So I have a good background in Mexican cuisine.
Yeah.
Every time I go traveling, I take a cooking class. So I've taken cooking classes in Italy, Spain, Mexico, Thailand, Germany, right? So, I mean, they're short little classes, but you get to go to local markets, you get to cook a regional dish or something, or several dishes.
Yeah.
And so I kind of now that I have a good background, I kind of just draw, you know, as I have a good flavor background, I can just take, oh, this goes with this, and this goes with that, and I just kind of right off and just make something up and see how it goes. And then I feed it to my kids.
So cool.
And if they like it, then sometimes I bring it to the restaurant.
Right.
Because I have also owned restaurants myself.
Okay.
I've owned three of them so far. So.
Oh, wow.
So I have, you know, I'm pretty good at experimenting and trying things out and, yeah.
So interesting. Now, when you're taking all these cooking classes around the world,
yeah,
what are the differences that you're seeing in the physical kitchens?
Oh, so that's really interesting. So the kitchens in Thailand are like a little bamboo roof over here with open air, and the markets, you know, there's no refrigeration there. It's just sitting out. Flies are crawling on the stuff. The equipment quite often is a charcoal grill.
Yeah.
Or like a little propane burner, like nothing like I have here. Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No ovens in Thailand.
No
ovens?
At
least not, well, it's so hot there.
Yeah, I guess so. Like, yeah, no, fair enough.
Yeah, right. Spain and Italy were pretty good. They were quite modern kitchens.
Mm-hmm.
But the cool thing is they usually take you on a trip to the marketplace first, right? You buy your ingredients at the market, so you tour around the market, you see the locals. The cool thing about that is it's not like going to a Safeway. It's like going to, I don't know if you're familiar with the Bountiful Market here in Edmonton.
Yes.
Right, so you got a bunch of vendors in a big spot.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that.
Yeah.
You go around, you go to the meat guy, you go to the produce guy, you pick up what you need for your recipe.
Yeah.
You head back to the kitchen, choosing a group of two or three.
Okay.
Usually I'm by myself, so I get paired up with another couple or something.
Which is great.
I never tell anyone what I do. I pretend I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
Quite often I get called out though.
Yeah.
Right. A couple times the chef's like, gee, you have really good knife skills for a home cook, right? And it's like, well, okay, maybe I got whatever. But then usually
so
you get to eat what you cook.
Yeah.
Spain and Italy was cool because both locations had a wine cellar. And it's basically a great big cave with, you know, wine bottles all over the place and tables set in the middle, so that's where you got to eat your food. Which is pretty cool. Yeah.
I got to rewind on this story. Usually you get to eat your food. What are the circumstances where you're not eating the food you just paid for?
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah, I'm very interested.
Yeah, well, I guess I'm comparing it to here. Like,
yeah,
food I'm cooking, I'm not eating every single dish.
Oh, right? See, so it's for you.
Yeah.
I was like, that's an unusual sentence for a human being to say.
Yeah,
but yeah, you don't get to cook everything you eat.
No, right? I mean, I taste it, but I'm not eating it. Or, my God, I'd be like the Michelin man.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. That's where my next question is leading into. You're a fit dude.
Yeah.
How?
I try and eat a balanced diet.
Okay.
I go to the gym a lot. I've been going to the gym 30 plus years now.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, and this job is physical.
Of course it is.
Right? Like, usually you're putting in, I don't know, 10 to 15,000 steps a day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's hot, so I'm sweating a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't drink a lot of alcohol and stuff. I just drink water.
Right.
That's my secret.
That's awesome.
Don't smoke.
No. Yeah. Good for you. Now, as far as this is your life, this is what you like.
Yeah.
I have to assume you digest content on food. What's a movie or a television show that you're just like, nailed it? Like, as a chef looking from like your lens, you're like, nailed it.
There's a show called Burnt.
Burnt.
Yep. I can't remember who stars in it. But it's basically kind of like a Gordon Ramsay story. The guy is in a kitchen, burns out, moves to America, burns all his bridges in France, comes back, is really trying to get his third star Michelin.
Okay.
That was a good one.
Okay. And you felt it was accurate to the story I could relate to this.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to look up that one.
Yeah, check it out.
I'm looking for a show with my wife. And so we're just like, hey, there we go. Oh, unfortunately, Jason is just giving me the time that we're out of time, though, my dude. So before I cut you loose, though, everybody gets a shameless shout out or plug. So you have the mic, the camera, the lights. Have fun.
I'm going to give a shout out to my kids. Stellar Nev, you're right on podcast. Look at that.
There we go. Awesome. Well, for McMurray Wood Buffalo, the rest of the world, that's been another episode of the Mac City Morning Show. From the bottom of my heart, thank you very much for tuning in. Big shout out to our title sponsor, Neural Toyota, as well as Carrie from Patchouli Rose and the beautiful people at Coldwell Banker. Really do appreciate your ongoing support, and we'll see you tomorrow. Peace.
There you go, man. Good job.
Hi, everyone. It's Carrie with Patchouli Rose here at Thickwood Barbershop. If you're wondering what to get your loved one this season for Valentine's Day, I make an all-natural anti-aging skin serum called Good Skin. It's good for men and women, and it's available for purchase here at the barbershop, downtown at the corridor shops and events, and on my website. Thank you for your support.
Talk about quenching your ugly thirst.